Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and with the Lord's help, we will continue a message that I began a few days ago, which I've entitled Able Ministers of God. And as we closed yesterday's broadcast, I shared that there are people that actually, if because they're part of what is called the laity, or they're a layman, they actually feel they've got a second-rate calling, and that they're second-rate people. That especially those in the denominations, there's a great distinction, and people, and I, as I said, I just had a conversation recently with a dear brother, way advanced in years, who it was expressing this very thing. And I'm going to start meddling right now, but there are some of you who have been, you're mature and you have been in the Pentecostal, charismatic, full gospel ranks. And I want to say something that actually bears on this very same attitude or motive. I'm a very real person. I may not, sometimes I may put my foot in my mouth, but I just have to keep things simple, and I just am as honest and as truthful as I can, sharing how I see things. And so you might say, well, you know, Sister Glass, I get that. I understand. Yeah, there shouldn't be a difference between the clergy and the laity. However, for those of you who have moved in these circles, have you ever been around people who were very concerned about titles? I mean, I've had people say, what's your ministry calling? Or they go around and say, well, I'm apostle so-and-so, and I'm prophet so-and-so. And it's as if their very identity is tied up in that particular ministry that God happens to be using them in. But beloved, my response is, so what? Does it matter? The fact that people have to emphasize that indicates that they are very deep within their heart. They're striving for acceptance. They're striving for significance, that they're just not content to be a servant of the Lord. I'm sorry, but the greatest among us, Jesus said, would be the servant of all. I can remember once I was down for a revival. I was preaching a revival in San Diego, and a brother comes, and I'm not trying to be really bad, but he said, his prophet, his glass arrived to the pastor. And beloved, I'm not interested in titles, and I don't think we should be, but I have been in circles where people had to put a name on themselves because, again, it's this laity clergy division. Somehow that makes them a little spiritually superior. Now, am I saying that there is not a distinction? That's a calling of God. If you're part of a fivefold ministry, a calling, if you're a pastor, if you're an evangelist, an apostle, prophet, teacher, thank God for those callings. Those are God-ordained sacred callings. But that does not make you more significant than a person who's a butcher, or a lady who's a housekeeper for a living. That basically, would you listen to me, beloved, the fivefold ministry are actually serving the function that the Levites did under the Aaronic priesthood. Do you remember the sacred order? Aaron was set aside and anointed, his sons after him, to be the priests before the Lord. They'd wear the Urim and the Thummim. They would seek God and get answers for the people. The high priest was allowed to only go once a year into the holy place to offer sacrifices for Israel. And they were given this calling and this anointing, but they also were given the Levites, who were their helpers. They did, you know, they carried the tabernacle, they did all these sorts of things, so they carried the service of the temple, but they were basically servants of the priests. And if we really believe what Peter said in 1 Peter, that second chapter, you're a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, then fivefold ministry really are the servants of the priesthood, the body of Christ, the body of believers. And the fivefold ministry actually occupy a Levitical position to minister to them. Beloved, we don't have to compete with one another. There's only one area, I preached on once, where we can compete, and that is to outdo one another in love. God's very happy with that kind of competition. But we don't have to strive. If we really are mature, we don't have to. I remember I got a letter from he doesn't write anymore, but he was back in New York. I mean, at one point he was a prophet, then he writes back a few months later, then he's an apostle. I mean, it's like, the poor guy, can't he just be content with God's gifts and ministry in him and through him? And so what I'm talking about is, it's a matter of pride, insecurity, this whole separation of somehow I'm better than you because I'm called of God. Well, we are all called of God. That's the point of what I'm sharing this week. But to return to the New Testament, that's where we see, where we get our understanding. And when we look at the sixth chapter of Acts, and I'm not going to take the time to read it, but there was a question of distribution of food which arose. There was a dispute. The Greeks were saying their widows weren't being taken care of. And so the apostles called the body of believers together and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, that we may appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's Acts, the sixth chapter, verses 2-4. And on surface reading and on general acknowledgement, we would say, well, that's a very spiritual and wise act and attitude. But when you really examine it, what did Jesus say? He said, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, starting at Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And what happened here, as we read the actual account of what happened with the early church, there was actually a wedge that was driven between the material and the spiritual. And that's really the very one of the basic things that are operating in this whole clergy laity thing and, you know, fivefold calling and just the ordinary church member. Because in Christianity, the material and the spiritual are two sides of one reality. The apostles, although there, and I'm not saying that there wasn't, that we shouldn't have, you know, what there were, that was the deacons that were established, and deacons hold an invaluable place in today's church. But basically, they separated what God had joined in the incarnation. In Jesus, the Word became flesh. And here, the Word was to become the Word, and flesh was to become flesh. The spiritual was apart from the material. In other words, their function was just totally spiritual, and somehow, you know, waiting on tables, well, that was, you know, material, and that was not as great a significance. But what I'm sharing with you, that in God's eyes, it's just as important, beloved. And that's why I want you to understand the validity, the importance of your contribution today. I don't believe God wanted the spiritual to be apart from the material, or the material apart from the spiritual, because it impoverishes them both. The spiritual was not to function in material terms, and the material was not to function in spiritual terms. And basically, that division between the secular and the sacred, it persists today. That has come down through the centuries. And it destroys, if you will, the essential nature of Christianity. And this is what is so beautiful and unique about Christianity, is because we are all vital members one of another. And what happens when that division begins to become apparent between the sacred and the secular, that which occurred in the book of Acts, well, as you read the history, you can find out what happened. The so-called laymen, the deacons, took over in large measure the Christian movement. Those seven deacons became the center of spiritual power. Well, yes, the apostles have had apostolic authority, but you don't hear much described about what they were doing. God, and in fact, when he had to bring persecution to get them, to get the people, his church, out of Jerusalem. It took persecution to get them to really obey him. And basically, it seemed God was demonstrating his power in the direction of those who held the material and the spiritual together. Think about that. One of the seven deacons who were called and set aside was Stephen, and he precipitated the revival in Jerusalem and brought on his own martyrdom. He was the first Christian martyr. And then you remember the story of Philip. He was another of those original seven. He first preached the gospel outside of Jerusalem after Pentecost. He won the whole city of Samaria. There was revival there, so there was much joy in that city. And then the apostles sent down Peter and John to basically minister about the Holy Spirit, but they did not produce that original revival. And it was the lay people, if you will, that were out there doing the work, doing what Jesus said. And basically, if you will, they were like the rear guard of an expanding movement, trying to keep up with it. Praise God. Well, I see my time has flown by, and we must bring this broadcast to a close, and we'll just continue as the Lord directs on tomorrow's broadcast. But I do want to invite you to request the little prophetic booklet, which we have made available to you. It is called Devotional Meditations, and let me read quickly an excerpt. "Hold fast to my hand, says the Lord. Hear my words and store them in your heart. For as you do, you will be as a wise vessel who builds his house on the rock. The winds of adversity and opposition may blow, but it will not fall. I will never go back on my word. Trust and believe that which I have given you. My words are words of life. I am the lifter of your head and the comforter of your heart. I want you to enjoy my loving kindness and to know that my faithfulness knows no end. Praise me, for I will put a new gladness in your heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, says the Lord." Praise God. Well, I invite you to write, share your prayer requests. The announcer will give our contact information. If you email, be sure to include your address so I can, if you desire that little booklet, I'll put it in the mail to you. I love you, pray for you every day, and until tomorrow, now, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.